I was thinking about these awesome looking cards that the forts had made up for us. And I was thinking about the season that we're in right now. And somewhere deep down in my soul, I always wanted to be a farmer, you know, just because not because I want to work all hours of the day, but because I want to drive the big combines and the big tractors and stuff like that, right? So, but I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how it's harvest season, right? It's gearing up as the weather cools off and the crops dry out. And if the farmers just left the crops in the field and hoped that somehow they got where they needed to go or something happened to them, we know what would happen is that they would rot and the wildlife would eat them and the farmers would go broke. And then we wouldn't have what we have because of that. And you know what? The souls of men are the same way. And this is like our combine. I know it's a far stretch because this is a little card, but if we don't go out into our community, if we don't go out into the fields and use a card to invite somebody to lunch next Sunday, but more than that, to hear God's word and to hear the gospel preached, maybe for their first time in their life, what's going to happen to them? They're going to lay in the field. They're going to rot. They're going to get consumed by some of these folks that we're going to talk about out of the text today. So let's just use this little tool. I always go home on Sunday and put it on my refrigerator so I don't lose it because I oftentimes lose things. But let's take it off our refrigerator when we leave the house and maybe go across the street to our neighbor or go to the gas station and say, hey, man, we just love you and we just want you to come to lunch. Why don't you come hear God's word and eat some good food with some good people? And it's that easy, right? I didn't get to go into the community when you guys went and invited everybody for the barbecue, and I missed out on that because we were sick. But man, let's just get after it with this little card and see what happens with one soul next Sunday, right? That's what it's all about, it's one soul. So don't lose your card, okay? Some of you might be like, I don't even know where I put it already. Turn the yellow side up because it's bright, okay? So open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're gonna continue in our study there. And last week we looked, we blew through the rest of that list of the character qualities of someone that we don't want to be, but the character qualities of a worldly-minded, worldly-visioned, worldly person that is seeking to destroy what God is doing by teaching false doctrine and just being a tool of the devil. And we got through that, but we're still continuing to talk about these false teachers. It was very prevalent in the church in that day, and it's very prevalent in the church today as well. So, like I said, we need to examine ourselves. We need to take that list of things and examine ourselves and see maybe if any of that be found in us. And if it is, repent, ask God to change you and give you hatred for that so that you can get on the road that he has for us, so that we can start plowing ahead and glorifying him with our lives. So in 2 Timothy, we're going to get right into it. Chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 6 through 9 this morning. So the word of God says, For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest, or shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Father God, I pray today, God, that we can take these things that we're going to see, these 5 points that we're going to see out of these 3 verses today, and God, you could just enlighten us. God, you could open our eyes. You could, Father, bring us to an understanding of what's going on in the world we live in today. And we can identify these patterns of apostasy that we're going to see today. And Father, that we can be able to have a leg up. And Father, that we can be able to walk victoriously because you've taught us and you've instructed us and you've guided us and directed every step that we have. Father, that we would just be obedient to you. So God, I pray you're glorified today. And Father, that your name is magnified above every name. Father, that we don't forget that. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at these. There's patterns of apostasy. And the word apostasy means an act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize faith. That's the easy way to define that. And these that we've been talking about in our text for a long time, they've done this. They have this. And some may be Christians, but as we know, some are simply implants from the devil, right? Wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what happens, is they sneak in unaware. They're not identified, and they act like something that they're not. And that's what's going on here in our text. But one thing is true, is that they desired, here's the thing, they desired to be a part of the church body. Okay, whether their motives were good or not, they desired to creep into the churches. They desired to sneak into these houses and act like something that they weren't. And then begin to disrupt, disturb, to sow discord, to distract, no matter what the reason. So today we're going to look at these patterns, and we're going to look at five things out of the text today. And I'm not one of those guys that, is it called alliterating where you use the same letter, right? I'm not one of those, but it just fell right into my lap this week as I was studying God's word. I'm like, wow, I can be like that. So everything's going to begin with a C today. So we're going to see five things that show us a pattern and show us what the results can be from these types of people. But here's the thing. Each one of us in this room today, or that are listening today, have patterns in our life. Right? We could all say, yeah, I have patterns. Some are good patterns. Some are not so good patterns. But we all have patterns in our life. And if we recorded our lives for 1 week, maybe we videotaped our lives for 1 week, we could easily identify what patterns we have in our lives. And maybe we can identify patterns that need to be removed from our lives. But we would see patterns happening. And myself, I'm a very, especially in the mornings, I am so... I have such a pattern. And let me tell you something. If my pattern gets off, I'll go to work without socks on. Just because. And I'll get to work and I'll be like, what the heck? And this happened to me like 2 weeks ago, not without socks. But I either wear some work tennis shoes or work boots. And I got to work one. This was right after COVID. And I got to work and I stepped out. I had my good shoes on. And I'm like, what in the world? My pattern was thrown off that morning. You know what? Everybody's pattern's a little bit different, but there will be some sort of pattern. And the same goes with our text today. The pattern of those that we're talking about today is not a good pattern. It's not a pattern that we should pattern our lives after. We started this text with a phrase. We started this with the phrase, "For men shall be. In the last days, perilous times shall come." Right? That's the thing. There's things that are happening. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "For this know, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be this humongous nasty list." Okay? This is what's going on. Not a good pattern. Not good. So point number 1 today, out of our text, in verse 6, it says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Point number 1 is creeps. Creeps, right? They're creeping in. They are creeps, right? We know what a creep is. They creep in. They sneak in. They're sneaky. They creep because they're creeps. And when we think of the word creep, what do we think of? I think of like reptiles or snakes, right? Serpents. And there's nothing more in this world that I dislike more than snakes, okay? I don't hate a lot of things, but I hate snakes. And I don't care what kind of snake it is. They are all deadly. They are all venomous. And they're all going to kill me. And to me, I don't know what God was doing, right? When he's like, but they have a purpose. They hide, and then at the worst time, they make themselves known to you, right? And I think I shared the story of what happened to me at work about a month or two ago when one fell out of the ceiling and hit me in the chest. And Shorty thought I was a little girl because he just happened to be at work with me that day, because he's outside throwing stuff in the dumpster and I'm screaming inside, and he thought a wall had fallen on me or something. And it was a 5-foot black snake. That's how nasty they are. They're creeps. He was creeping around in the attic and I ripped the ceiling down and here he come. Nastiness. You know what? It even acted like it was a different type of snake. It was crazy. It was rattling its tail, and it was hitting on the plastic that was holding the insulation in. And I'm like, it's a black snake, but he's trying to act like a rattlesnake, right? You're going to die. The serpent in the garden crept in and deceived. Just like those that we're talking about today. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Yea, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat it. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." The thing here is it starts right there in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. More subtle, more sneaky, more crafty, more just, I'm your best friend, right? When he had one motive, and that was to get mankind to fall. He comforts her with, you won't die. In fact, it's going to make you better. Right? It's going to make you wise. It's going to open your eyes. There's so much good that's going to come from this. You're not going to die. Don't worry about that. It's a trap. We know it's a trap because we know the story and we've heard it a billion times. But since that day, we've been dealing with creeps. Since that very day in the garden, creeps have been creeping all over this world, creeping in our lives. Maybe we have been creeps. This sort which creep into houses have one objective. These that we're talking about in the text today have one objective: to lead the victims away from truth, to lead them into a trap, to twist up the truth, sprinkle just a little bit into it, and get the fish to take the bait. And when the fish takes the bait, what do? We set the hook, and they're captured. And this that we're talking about today, from of this sort which creep into houses and lead captive. Point number two is captive, right? To be brought into captivity. They lead these silly women captive. The word silly here is likened to the word foolish. These women were foolish. They didn't know what was going on. One that doesn't know what is going on and can be led in different directions easily. And these creeps prey on these types of men and women. It just happens to be women here in the text today. They see that they are vulnerable and they take complete advantage of their weakness. They see that, oh, this is easy prey, right? This is like a lion going after a wounded animal. That's easy prey. I'm going to sneak up on it, I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to devour it. What took place after Adam and Eve, when their eyes were open, is that they tried to hide from God, right? Their sin had taken them captive. They messed up. They realized, oh my goodness, and here comes God, right? Hey guys, where are you at? We're going to hide from God. They were captive. They were captivated. They had been bound up by their sin. They had the whole garden, right? They could wander around. They could do as they pleased. And then sin crept in and they became captive. They thought they could hide themselves from him because of their sin. And this is what happens to us. We sin. We do something, whatever it is. And then we look around, right? Who's seen that? Nobody's seen it. Hallelujah, right? Or if somebody did, then we go into hiding. We can hide from the world, but we cannot hide from God, is the thing. And just as God found Adam and Eve, and he knew where they were hiding from and why they were hiding from him, he does the same with us. These women had been led away by these creeps, and these creeps creep in and take advantage of these and lead them captive. The thing with being captive is this. When we're born into this world, we're born captive. right? We're born into sin. Can't help it, right? No matter how cute, how adorable, how perfect, whatever it is, captive. We can live our whole entire lives captive, right? Our sin will just keep us trapped our whole entire lives until one day we realize, I don't have to be enslaved to the devil. We're born into sin and the devil has his way with us. But if we go back to chapter 2, verse 26, it says this. And they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. They will be delivered out of the snares of the devil. When we surrendered our life, when we believed the gospel, when we believed that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, and we believe that by faith and we place our faith and trust in that alone, we're not captive anymore. Those chains are broken. They're shattered. They're destroyed. This portion of Scripture is talking about fleeing the old life, the useful lust. If we remember back from our study in that, those lusts that we are born with, those that that are self-focused, these women that are being taken captive here in the passage today have a huge problem. The huge problem is that they're not grounded and they're not rooted in God's word. Because these creeps are coming in and tickling their ears and telling them what they want to hear and being so sweet, right? And then snatching them away. Ladies, young ladies, men are creeps, okay? I'm telling you, and I say that in all seriousness. They're creeps. They have one objective, okay? Not all men, but most men have one objective. Just remember, you're a creep, right? Just tell, hey, I think you're a creep. Let them prove out. Let God prove out that they're not creeps. Because they are going to sneak in, and they're going to creep into your lives. And before you know it, your lives are going to be changed because of that, and not for the better. So these women, they were not grounded and rooted, and we need to be grounded and rooted in God's word so that we can identify these creeps so that we don't have to be taken captive. Because if we're living victoriously, if we're born again today, the devil's that, man, he's seeking to destroy us. He's seeking to wreak havoc in our life. He's seeking to bring captivity back and get us trapped in that again, and we don't have to be. The problem is today, not only with women but mankind, right? Because the world in general, is that they are led away and taken captive pretty easily. Why? Because of the lack of faith in God's word and the power that it has. These creeps may use enticing words to lead those into captivity. The problem with today is, man, we don't know God's word. We don't have a handle on God's word. So when bad things happen to us, we're like, man, I'm a good person. Why is all this happening? Well, if we would just trust God and read his word, he will tell us, he will direct us, he will instruct us. And we read in Titus chapter 1, verse 11, it says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. In verse 10, it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. There's bad things happening right now. They have to be stopped. And this is why Paul is warning Timothy to look out, be aware, be diligent, be prudent, to see these things, to see who's doing this. And like I said, they have one objective, and that's to seek and destroy those through deception. And this is how we become captive. Our minds can lead us into a trap. We can begin to think that maybe the word is not true. Maybe there's some things that just aren't right with God's word. Maybe that what I'm hearing on TV or the radio or from my coworkers, maybe that's a little bit true as well. And we can be deceived to think that someone else is saying, what someone else is saying and teaching is more true than what God is saying. This is what sets God apart. This is what set God apart from religion, from mankind, is that he gave us proof. Not man's words, but his words. Not an opinion, but truth. And we hold it in our hands, and it's been proven time and time again, and it's true, and it's being revealed more and more each day. And these women that are found here in the text today were led away captive so easily because they didn't truly know the truth. They were led away. They were foolish. There was confusion. Point number three. Confused, confusion. Confusion comes from a lack of understanding. Okay? Someone gives you a task to do. I need you to put this together. And you need to do it like this. And they tell you really quick how to do it, right? Well, if you're like me, I heard the first and the last thing that you said, okay? So I got the first bolt and the last bolt, and I'm like, what in the world do I do in between? I'm confused, right? But the thing is, I'm prideful, so I'm like, I got this. And before you know it, you built a bookshelf when you were supposed to build a desk. And you're like, well, I'm confused. Verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. There's a lack of understanding. They were ever learning. And we call this reading book after book, but not retaining or understanding what books say, right? I've read so many books. I haven't read, like, I'm not a huge reader, okay? The Word of God and books that I have to read. But I've read books in my life that I'm like, right? I read it, but I have no idea what I just read because I wasn't attentive to what was being told. The Holy Spirit of God is what leads us, guides us, teaches us, and gives us the understanding that we need, okay? So when we try to do something in the flesh, we're going to get a result of the flesh, right? So, and we know in the flesh, there's no good thing. 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us that who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. We're born, just as we're born into captivity, we are born in a state of confusion. The children that we are reproducing today are born this way. And we, as born again parents, have a job to do. That's not to bring more confusion into their lives, right? But the problem today is that a lot of these parents, and I'm not talking about us, but maybe I am, think that they're reproducing little saints. Johnny is so perfect. He can do no wrong. Well, you need to be around Johnny when you're not here, Mama, right? Johnny's not quite a saint. You know, and the problem, the misconception is that parents who are born again think that their children, you know, they're good. They're in good care. We care for them. And church, we have a duty as to the Lord and to the parents in our care. And I'm not talking about the body for your kid. I'm talking about you for your child that God has entrusted you with. And this is to speak truth into their lives. Because here's the thing. We can make decisions for them, right? You are going to eat your green beans, right? You are going to go to school. You are going to get dressed. We can make certain decisions for them. But when it comes to accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we're out, right? We can speak truth. We can give them the goods. But we cannot make that decision for them, no matter what. But we can bring confusion into their life by making them deceiving them, making them think that they're good, and that, you know what? It's all good. We go to church, you're a good kid. And then they become confused. You know, we as parents just have to obey and be vessels that deliver the goods to them and to train them up in the way they should go, right? We're to teach them the Holy Scriptures while we have a chance. While we have a chance, and trust God to do the rest. We should desire to be able to say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And here's the thing. Walk is the key. Because parents, we just pick our kids up. It's okay, right? It's okay. I'll get you through this. And you know what? We might get them through stuff. And as parents, we are to be there for our kids like that. But when it comes to, man, a relationship with God, we need to put them down. And we need to let God do that. Allow God to give them the understanding. Not to be a knowledge monster, right? Because some of us just have so much knowledge. We're just, I know everything about God. I know everything about the Word. But we need to give them an understanding that we need to be a lover of God, to come to the knowledge of truth. These women we see here in our text today were confused. They very well may have been getting it from both sides. right? A little bit of truth, a little bit of not truth. And then they were just like, I'm so confused. I don't know what's going on. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They couldn't tell truth from lie. And the problem was that they could not decipher between the two of them. And this brings great confusion into our lives. And they do not know what is truth and what is not. And confusion has been the best tactic from the day in the garden. Just as we looked at in Genesis chapter 3, the devil deceived by twisting truth, bringing about a state of confusion. And I'm sure Eve was like, well, what he's saying, and before you knew it, even though God had given very specific instructions, the instructions were twisted to a point that they were deceived. Think about this. Adam was created perfect. No sin was in him. He was created in the image of them, God and Jesus. So then, how did sin enter into the world? How did sin wreak so much havoc? Through confusion. They were led away from what they knew was right. They knew, right? God had specifically told them, you can do all of this, don't do this, right? Then confusion came and they're like, well, that's kind of okay. These women that are led away and taken captive with sins today that did this because they didn't have a handle on the truth, ever learning, but just couldn't seem to come to an understanding of what the truth really was. Confusion is a dangerous place to be. And this is why it's okay to ask questions, right? We don't ask questions because we don't want to look dumb, right? Well, somebody else might know that, but and then they're going to think that no, ask questions, right? Ask questions. It's okay. We must seek answers. And if the answers are not coming from the Word of God, then run far, far, far away. Don't go looking for counsel in the world. You may get what you want, but it may not be what God wants. The Word tells us that God is not the author of confusion. He makes it clear. He makes it straight. And it may not be what we want to hear. And we face reality. Do we have faith in Him or not? Because oftentimes we walk around in the fog. Some mornings when I'm driving to work, I could be driving along and there's so much fog that I can't see. But I'm like, you know what? I know I drive this road every single day. I know where the curves are and I can do it. Until something runs out in front of me or a car slams on their brakes, right? We must clear the fog out of our lives. We must flee confusion. We must have the answers. That's the thing, is that we walk around so confused when we have the answers to give us what we need. But we're just like walking around in fog, like it's okay. Point number 4 is corrupt minds. Verse 8 says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. These that opposed Moses were a tool. And some of us are like, a tool. Yeah, they were. A tool to distract by deception as well. And if you look at Exodus chapter 7, we can see that Pharaoh tried to use these men, these wise men, these sorcerers, these magicians of Egypt to mimic what Moses and Aaron were doing. Right? For the sake of time, we won't go there. Go read Exodus chapter 7. You can see this, right? Aaron's staff turns into a snake. And so they're like, we can do that too. And what happened? Because Aaron's devoured all of them. It didn't make any difference. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh's heart didn't want to obey God. He didn't want to do what God was saying. He didn't want to be told what to do. And he resisted because he has a corrupt mind. His mind was corrupt and he was a corrupt man, and he used these others as well that were corrupt to resist the truth, to resist direct instructions from God. These men that we see in our text today are likened to what we see again in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess they know God, but in the works they deny him, being an abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Professing they know God, but their actions state otherwise, okay? That's why it's so important to prove people out, right? Somebody could roll in here and be like, man, I've served in the ministry for 25 years and blah, 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 blah. We're not going to just throw them back in there with our kids because we don't know them, right? There's a time of proving and allow their actions to meet what they say, to see where they're at with the Lord. These are dangerous people, just as we've been talking about over the, for the past few weeks. They're deceivers, talking out of both sides of their mouth, and they are an abomination. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, such turn away, in verse 5 of chapter 3. Looking as one thing, but acting like another. This word reprobate means unprincipled mind. It's likened into words like rogue, rascal, scoundrel. They're depraved, morally corrupt. So these that we're that are wreaking havoc here today are not good people at all. We know that. They did not believe the truth and would do at all costs whatever it took to lead these away from the truth. Okay? They're going to sneak into your lives. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to be your best friend. They're going to do whatever it takes in order to get you drawn away from the truth, to get you drawn away from God. They're corrupt. They have corrupt minds, corrupt actions. But point number 5, it all comes to a stop. It all will one day come to a stop. Jesus is coming back and this will end. Hallelujah. But our text says this, but they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. An abrupt stop. Why? Because their folly will be revealed, because their tactics will be revealed, because the blanket will be pulled off. Just as we know what the Bible tells us about our sin, that we need to be sure that it will find us out. These men here, they'll be easily identified. Have you ever experienced your sin being found out? Doing something in secret or hiding something in your heart, and then one day, whoosh, the band-aid's ripped off, and you're like, ah, I'm standing here naked, right? You can see in Numbers chapter 32, verses 1 through 23, this story. There were some that thought it fitting that they not cross the Jordan River. This land right here is perfect for us to raise our livestock, to raise our cattle, to build our homestead. Moses, I think we're just going to chill right here. I know that God told us that we need to cross the Jordan and go to the promised land, but we would much rather be here. This was a sin to God. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they're faced with the Jordan River and the promised land, and they're like, well, this is pretty good stuff. I kind of like it here. I know God wants us there, but we're okay here. Their minds were twisted. They told Moses, we'll settle here. You know why their sin would find them out? Because they wouldn't do what they were told to do. And people would see that. They wouldn't obey the Lord. Their hearts would be revealed. They would not follow through with what God had told them. And it would be known to those around them because why aren't they coming with us? Well, they want to be disobedient. They want to just chill here. And this is what happens when our sin is revealed to those around us. It's made manifest. Just as these men, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Made known, not hidden anymore. They won't be able to deceive anymore. They won't be able to be creeps anymore. This is what's going to happen to those that seek to lead away and take captive. Their sin will be revealed. And you know what we as a church need to do? That we need to pray that this happens quickly. This happens quickly, not tarries and not drags on, but we need to pray that God reveal man's sin, no matter what it is, so that we can be clean and holy before you. For the sake of the body, for the sake of the weak and those that are not grounded in the truth, we must pray that this comes to a stop quickly so that the folly, so that their sin can be made known unto all men. Just as those that stood with Pharaoh trying to deceive, God made it known that they were fools. And that Aaron's rod that became a serpent ate up theirs as well. Church, we must stand on the truth of God's word. We must be grounded and settled in it because we don't want to be like these silly women. We don't want to be like these sinful types. If we're not grounded and settled in God's word, then we will be deceived and led away as these women we see here today. We may think that we're strong and nothing can happen to us like this, but we deceive ourselves because we are in the middle of a war, okay? That's what we have to remember. Well, everything seems to be pretty good. Bam, we're blindsided. Oh, I forgot, we're in the middle of a war. We're an enemy of the devil, and he will not stop until he is stopped by God. That's the thing. Church, we have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to be clothed with that thing. Let me read a passage out of Ephesians chapter 6 for you. Very familiar for some of us, but maybe not. In verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Okay? We're at war. He's coming in to try to attack. We need to get dressed. Don't walk around naked. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's serious business. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whether you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We need to be ready. Strength comes from God, not from us. Okay? We can go to the gym, we can be healthy, we can be strong physically, but without God, we are weak spiritually. We must choose to be fully clothed. We must choose to be fully prepared. We must choose because it takes action on our part. Okay? Just as a young child must come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ themselves, we must take an action and say, "I want to be prepared, God. God, I want to be ready. I want to be ready when those fiery darts start shooting into my life. I want to be able to defend them. I want to be able to deflect them. I want to be fully prepared." And you know what? God says, "I've given you everything you need. I've given it to you. You must take action and accept that." Let us make a choice to be battle ready and help others become this way as well. Some of us know nothing. Some of us know something. Let's spread the love of God's word to those around us, that we may see each of us walking in victory and not fall into the snares of the devil, because we are the body of Christ, okay? Members in particular, we need to look out for each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to invest in each other. We need to be making disciples. We need to be doing this. It's not about me, right? It's not about you. We're the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. But oftentimes we don't act like that. Oftentimes we act like physical brothers and sisters, right? Nitpicking and fighting and doing all those ridiculous things. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, though we may think so. The war is far greater than that. The spiritual wickedness in high places will not be defeated by our flesh. We must walk in the Spirit, because our flesh wants to do ridiculous things, right? Man, I will take care of this business. I will do this. I will do whatever it takes. But if we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh, because we want to war against each other. And we are not enemies. We must be able to identify the enemy. We have to train in order for that to happen. We have to be able to say, good guy, oh, enemy. Implant, right? The Bible tells us to study to show yourself approved unto God. We have to study God's word. Becoming battle ready takes time. becoming battle ready by growing and knowing the plan that God has for each one of us. Because we all fit in somewhere, right? We all have a place. And when we get to that place, we need to do it. We need to do our role. We have to do that. Because if we don't fit into our place and do our role, there's a hole. And yes, we're like, well, somebody else will come along and do it. And probably that's what's going to happen. But what if we would just be obedient? What if we would just do that? What if we would take action? So today we've seen the creeps, the captives, the confused, the corrupt, and that it's all going to come to a stop. But here's what I want to wrap up with. Though these people that we identify, these creeps, even these foolish women, Jesus Christ died on the cross for them as well, right? And oftentimes we identify these folks and we're like, I wish something bad would just happen to them, right? When then we become a creep. Then we become the ones that we're like sending them on an express trip to hell. When you know what? There comes a time in our life where we can identify a creep and we can be like, I need to invest the word of God into that person. These foolish women, I need to invest the word of God into them. Because God does not desire for us to remain creeps and foolish women. God desires for all men to repent. He sent Jesus Christ to seek and save those which are lost, to save the world. So our minds as believers can become twisted towards these types of people because we're walking in the flesh. And we're like, I will take care of every creep that comes into my life, right? Mess with my family, creep, see what happens. That's the mentality oftentimes we have. So God has the power to change these creeps. I was a creep, y'all. I was a creep. I was. I crept right into my wife's life, right? She was beautiful. It was hard not to be a creep in her life. But God changed me. Because nothing, just as we sang this morning, nothing is impossible. Nothing. So these folks that are going on right now, that we're going to continue to talk about, these false teachers, these creeps, these things that trying to lead people away, that are coming in to disrupt what God was doing, we need to pray for opportunities and the boldness to speak truth into their lives. We might invite a creep to church next Sunday. Hallelujah, right? Can we identify them? Can we? Can we love them like Jesus loved them? I hope so. I hope we can. I hope we can just wrap the arms of Jesus around them and put them in a gospel headlock and whatever it takes, right? Jesus came to seek and save those which were lost. What are we doing about it? Let's pray.